John said, I came baptizing for this reason, that Jesus might be revealed to all of Israel. I speak to you in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So Casey and my family and I had one of those occasions this week, which is also common, but to us felt like a crisis, in which we were trying to get our two children ready for school. Nobody has ever gone through this before. Two under five. The little one starting school sort of for the first time this week. And all the items, the complicating factor was that all the items we needed to make this happen were in different boxes throughout the house. It's a little game we were playing. And when you found the box, it was under two boxes. And then when you opened the box, there were three items on top of the item that you needed. It was, and the kids, they were not happy with what was happening. And they were letting us know about that in their own way. And so there was screaming and there was chaos. And we weren't sure if we were going to get out the door in time. And it just felt like this very anxious, difficult moment. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, we look out of the window of our little house. And 20 feet from the window is a troop of turkeys making their way up the hill. And I had the thought, are turkeys that big? I don't think any of us had been that close to a wild turkey before. I was holding my daughter, and she said, woof, woof. And I said, I know, they're big, right? They're big. So this troop of turkeys came through and brought a ton of levity to that moment. Everybody was, okay, all right. There's a life living itself out outside of our little chaotic life that's going on in this moment. And it just allowed for serenity and joy. It was a disruption of that chaotic moment, of that routine. Right? I bet if I came and I unpacked the lives in this room, what I would see is a series of routines, right? Where you have built these lives and you do wonderful things and courageous things and ordinary things. Things like playing with your kids or playing with your grandkids or spending time with your spouse or going to work or reading a good book or making doctor's appointments. Our lives are very routine, and every once in a while those routines become chaotic and difficult. And then there's a disruption and we wonder what's going on in this moment. In today's gospel that John just read, this is what happens. John, the baptizer, has just been in a chaotic argument earlier in the chapter with a group of Pharisees, and they're asking him questions like, who are you? Who do you think you are out here baptizing folks, telling people to repent? Who do you think you are? Are you the Messiah? And John says no. Are you the Elijah? No. Are you the prophet? No. I am just one who is crying out in the wilderness. That's what John says. I am the voice crying out in the wilderness. Which is to say, what John is saying is, that comes from Isaiah. He's saying something like, I'm the one reminding people of the promise that in all of these routines that we have created for ourselves, God disrupts those things. God promises to be a part and among and with and here. And I'm asking people through a baptism of water to shift their hearts. The Greek word is metaneo. It means something like, It's translated repentance, and it means something like to change your mind, to shift your perspective, to think differently about how the world works, to notice that there's a troop of turkeys coming through your yard, right? And so when John says, I am the one crying out in the wilderness, what he's saying is, I'm the one reminding folks that if they change their hearts, if they shift their perspective, if they look a little bit closer at the world around them, with trust, that they might recognize God's movement in and through and among and with us. And so we come to the gospel today, and what we see this is the argument with the Pharisees that John has just had, and then we move into what John just read. John Rice, not John the Baptist. There's a lot of Johns going on. Okay. I'm going to call you JR. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do that. Yeah. So, the Baptist, that's where I'll go. The Baptist, which John read about, right, comes to this moment today in which Jesus shows up And John the Baptist says a few strange things. He says, I thought that was him, but I wasn't sure. But then the Spirit rested on him. I didn't recognize him at first, but now I recognize that this is the one that has promised. This is why I've been doing this baptizing. And he will carry the Spirit. And so the work, the spiritual work in Epiphany, this is the season after Epiphany. So we had the Feast of Epiphany on January 6th. We're in this season up until Lent. Right, our work, our spiritual work here. And just to be clear, let me be clear about something. This is our spiritual work all the time, but we have a special focus about it in the season after Epiphany. Our spiritual work is to trust and recognize, to trust that God is coming into the world, that the promise made at the Nativity is a promise that we can put stock into, and that promise will carry us through. We trust it, and we learn to recognize it. I'm going to use this word. I messed it up at Holy Cross, and they made fun of me up until the day I left. But I have to say it because it's important. This is where my speech impediments come out. So the Greek root of epiphany, and here's the word I have trouble with, cellophane. Did I say that right? Cellophane. Y'all know what I'm talking about right now? So people know what I'm talking about? You don't know what I'm talking about. Plastic wrap. What do you call this? I'm like, you don't know, like I've gotten online and just listened to it over and over and over again. Cellophane. Did I say it right? Okay. Any speech therapists in the room? All right, so this is the season of Epiphany. It's when we put plastic wrap up for the promise, right? And we're able to recognize it. We're able to move into it and to see it. And the job, the reason we do this spiritual work is because eventually it will take us into Lent. And the season of Lent calls us into much heavier and difficult work. And so in Epiphany, we take upon us to trust that God will and does and continues to break in on this world through every crook and crevice that God can find, that the incarnation comes among us, not just 2,000 years ago, but now, right? And we recognize, we trust and we recognize. That's the work. There was a moment in my life where I didn't know how, there are still moments in my life, but there was definitely a moment in my life where I didn't know how to trust and recognize. I graduated from college, and everybody that I knew was saying something like, you should go to seminary. And I would say, I should not go to seminary. And so I did the likely thing. Instead, I went to Peru. Peru is as far from seminary as you can get. Seminary's over here. Peru seemed right. So I went there and I lived there for 6 months. I worked for this little Catholic mission that was doing everything in this, is in this place called Chimbote, which is a coastal city north of Lima and very impoverished in the sense that, so Chimbote is a fishing port. There was an earthquake in the late 70s, early 80s, somewhere around there. Shifted the fish population, if such a thing could happen. Ruined the economy. So all this infrastructure had been built there in this town. And all these people from the Andes and elsewhere had made their way into Chimbote. But there was no economy to sustain what was there. And so desperate situations. And there was this little Catholic mission that sort of helped out there. And I went and worked for a Catholic priest named John. Juanito in Spanish. John took me to this. He was like, you know, what do you want to do here? And I said, whatever you want me to do. So he showed me a couple different places. And one of the places that was part of the Catholic mission was a orphanage for women called Hogar de la Paz, Home of the Peace. And we went there and I walk into this world that is otherworldly in many ways. Concrete, no dirt floors in many parts of this orphanage. Women who were suffering from physical disabilities to intellectual disabilities were housed there. And there wasn't enough staff to support this. And so you saw desperate things. Like women were tied up. Some women were wearing football helmets so they wouldn't hurt themselves. It was something you wouldn't see it would strike you as strange and otherworldly, because in some ways, in my own experience, it took me outside of myself. It was a distraction. It was a different kind of troop of turkeys walking through the yard, right? And as I was there, I got to know some folks, and it was run by, the orphanage was run by the Sisters of Charity out of India. So the nuns who were in this place were like 4'3", but were giant human beings. But what they needed help with was to lift folks and help people get into chairs and move chairs around, that sort of thing. And so as I was there at this place, Hogar de la Paz, I gravitated towards this one orphan who was in her 30s, Olga. And Olga, as far as I could tell, was facing both intellectual and physical disabilities. And so I would help her get into a chair. We would take her to a room where they would do physical therapy. They would stretch her limbs out, and that was painful for her. And she would cry, and I would often cry when this was happening. And then took her to another room, and what we would eat. And then the third room, there were games, and we would play games. And this was the moment when Olga and I really connected, were around these games. There were puzzles in this room that had been donated to the orphanage that I'm sure were from like 1983, which to some of us doesn't seem that long ago. But Olga knew these puzzles, and she got a big kick out of the fact that she could do them a lot faster than me. And all I can say about Olga is that despite the fact that she was in what I had experienced as the most desperate and terrible places, had a spirit of generosity and love and joy and just presence to whoever was there. She was present to that person in a joyful and a wonderful and a gracious way. And as I got to know Olga, what I learned was I would go to that orphanage every Wednesday, and that was the day that was quite literally the troop of turkeys, right, in the chaos that was my time in Peru. And I looked forward to it, and it centered me, and it brought me back to the reason that I was there, and instilled in me a sense of calm and peace week by week. When John the Baptist, not John Rice, John the Baptist, is talking to this group of people, his followers, and saying something to the extent of, he came before me, the Spirit rested on him. At first I didn't recognize him, but now I do. What it sounds like is a promise. And that promise, that willingness to humbly move into recognizing and trusting that God will come in among us, is what in the Gospel of John leads to the calling of the first disciples, Andrew and his brother. And Jesus says to Andrew and his brother, he says, what are you seeking for? What are you looking for? And they said, can we come and see where you are staying? The Greek is abide, where you abide. And they abided, which is a big deal in John. They abided with Jesus, and they were transformed. They were curious, they trusted, and they recognized the Christ, and it was transformative to them. When I left Peru, I'd stay there about as long as I could on a visa without having to take tests. That's how long I stayed in Peru. And I knew I was getting ready to go, and I knew the person that I needed to say goodbye to was Olga, and I needed to do that in a way that communicated to Olga how important she was to me. And so so I wrote it in Spanish, which un poquito, not good is my Spanish. So I wrote it, and so I'm reading this to Olga, and trying to convey to her how I feel and how important she was. And she interrupts me. She puts her hand on my piece of paper. And here's the kicker. So in the 6 months I was there, in 6 months of knowing her, she had never said anything. I didn't think she had the capacity to speak. But she looked at me in the face and she says, "Te amo," which is, I love you. Right? And I need to say to you that what I mean right now is not figurative, it's literal. What I mean is to say, in that moment, and sitting in front of me was Jesus Christ. For whatever reason, I was able to trust and to recognize in that moment. But this is what, when I was growing up at St. James in Knoxville, and people were telling me about God, and I was learning about God, and I was coming to communion week by week, and I was doing Sunday school, and I was being loved by people in my community. That the God that they were proclaiming and all those experiences manifested itself in this person in an orphanage in Peru. And so I just wept, In the season of Epiphany, we will go story by story. We will follow Jesus, who is not recognizable as the Messiah in the sense that what we hope for when we think about a Messiah is something that will glorify what we hope to be true about the world. But instead of doing that, Jesus takes Jesus's disciples into the broken and difficult and challenging and hungry places in the world. It's like a troop of turkeys walking through your yard. And our work, our spiritual work, in this time, ahead of the season of Lent, is to trust that this promise is real, that is it available to us in a world that says it is not, but to trust, to proclaim it, and to believe it, and that will lead us to recognize it. Amen.